For the 23-24 season, Talking Wolves are proudly sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game.
Green King Sport venues are shown every single one of Wolves' televised fixtures over the course of the season. So instead of turning to the internet for a dodgy stream, why not get together with your mates, go to a Green King Sport venue and get closer to the action.
Now this season, Green King Sport have launched a Green King Sport Instagram page. It's home of the fan content, loads of giveaways and competitions on there. They've actually got a Champions League final tickets giveaway on there at the minute. Hopefully they're doing it next season because you might see Gary O'Neill's Wolf side in that, the way things are going. But there's loads of other prizes on there, signed shirts and much more.
So to make sure you're first to know about all the action over on the Green King Sport page, go and drop them a follow on their Instagram. And obviously you'll be helping us out here at Talking Wolves as well. Yes, everybody, welcome back to the Talking Wolves podcast. We're here for another podcast to discuss even more VAR and officiating controversy from the weekend. There's only the two of us this week. It's me, Dave, alongside Mr. Jordan Russell. Jordan, how you keeping, man?
I'm all good, mate. How are you?
All good, mate. All good. Been up too much this week? Busy week?
Started a new job, so that's been quite interesting, getting my new IT stuff all set up and whatever, so that's been pretty new, and then that's it really, to be fair. Not been too much going on, mate, to be honest with you. Obviously disappointment of the football game, and then yesterday, as of recording, it's Monday, so Sunday, watched Minnesota Vikings manage to stodge out a win with about 12 injuries, 3 quarterbacks, and everything else going against us. So, no, at least one team's going to be a bit of joy this weekend.
Yeah, I've watched a little bit of, I think I watched the opening weekend of the NFL a few weeks back, and watched a little bit of basketball this weekend as well, but just haven't really got in too much. As I was saying to you sort of before we started, I was going to go out Saturday, but felt a bit sorry for myself. So I stayed in the end, and the Copa Libertadores was on BBC Three in the UK, and it was the final. So for people that aren't that savvy on football, it's like the South American Champions League final. Whenever I somehow like stumble across South American football, they just kick the absolute crap out of each other. It's amazing. And that's exactly what it was. I think it was Boca versus Flamengo. And there's some great goals, some absolute bangers. They just kept shooting on sight as well. But every time it was a 50-50, mate. Genuinely, that match I think would have got abandoned if it was in the Premier League, because the ref was just letting everything run. And there were some VAR shouts. The guy got sent off for scoring the winner because he was on a booking and jumped in the crowd. So, yeah, it was an absolutely mental game of football. But we did have drama similar to that in our game this weekend, Jordan. Unfortunately, it was against Wolves. It's finished Sheffield United 2, Wolves 1. Frustrating, obviously, Jordan, to lose out to a team who, hadn't picked up a win before this weekend. And Wolves are on a nice little unbeaten run, but as we know, historically, Wolves never make things straightforward. And on paper, unfortunately, football isn't played on paper. And obviously, we didn't get anything out of that game. But starting line, it was a good talking point to start with, George, because the main position really we were going to be talking about is that Pedro Neto absence, because he was injured. A lot of people wondering, Bellegarde probably would have been the straightforward option if he was fit and 100%. He obviously wasn't, but we saw two changes. So Kalajdzic came in for Neto, and obviously Tommy Doyle came in for Boubacar Traoré. Before the game even kicked off, what were your thoughts on those? Because I think there was quite a bit of excitement for both of those players starting, really, on social media.
Yeah, I think, I think Tommy Doyle, his last two substitute appearances, deserved the start for me, especially against a team where we're anticipating we'd have more of the ball and we'd dominate large parts of that game. So I was all for Tommy Doyle starting. I think he deserved it. I don't know if he actually took his chance, really, if I'm being completely honest with you. And Sasa as well. Look, it was either Sasa or Fabio, really, with Bellegarde coming back from a hamstring and obviously trying to nurse him back into the first team fold. So, yeah, I think Sasa was the obvious one. And again, another one which I don't really think actually worked all that well. I think it allowed Sheffield United to push higher up the pitch a little bit. We didn't have as much of a threat behind as we have done with playing Neto, Wang and Cunha, because he's less mobile. And it sort of unravelled a little bit with the outcome of the result ultimately. I don't think we played well enough, and big reason for that was probably, you know, the absence of Pedro Neto, which we knew would be a big ask for the team anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it was Wolves seemed to be quite dominant, Jordan, the first half. You know, we had a lot of the ball. Didn't create huge clear-cut opportunities, and Sheffield United barely got out of their own half as well, to be honest. It was a very comfortable first 45 for Wolves. But frustratingly, it was almost at times that we were trying to walk the ball into the back of the net. I think the main one that people talk about is the Semedo one, where he sort of threw on goal and he tries to square it across the face of goal and ends up losing the ball. But there were plenty of half-decent passages and movements towards goal. Sasha was part of probably one of them. I think it was a really smart 1-2 with Huang. And then he sent Cunha through, who forces Wes Fodringham into a good save. And then the other one was Huang as well, sort of just inside the area, twisting and turning, almost trying to replicate that goal against Newcastle. And then it bounces off Ryan Aitnori's shins and out for a goal kick as well. But I think, George, you look, and I know we've been on fantastic form, but you look at the last few away games, Bournemouth included, Luton, and they're three teams really that you would be expecting us to, you know, comfortably give a good game to. We've really struggled, haven't we? In the first 45s especially, we've really, really struggled to, well, across the whole 90, we've struggled to break these teams down, really.
Yeah, we'll struggle to beat these teams at home as well. It's something I think that was documented on the pod last week, that I feel like we're a very good counter-attacking football inside. We still haven't got those players cute enough, I think, to sort of unlock defences regularly. I still sort of think that Sarabia would have been a better fit for the Sheffield United game, being completely honest, but you couldn't really not chuck Sasser in, really, from what had happened in the previous substitute appearances he had. So, yeah, I think we'll always struggle against these sort of teams where they'll sit off us a little bit and ask us to break them down, because we've shown that since we've been back in the Premier League. We're not that sort of side. We haven't got those sort of players or enough of those sort of players to do that and dominate the ball. So, yeah, in that sense, I wasn't too shocked we struggled to break them down. Not overly shocked with the result either, being, you know, just typical Wolves. But, yeah, look, it's frustrating. We need to be better away from home against these sort of sides. But, you know, you'll see we've got Tottenham this week. And I reckon we'll look far better against Tottenham at home.
I agree.
Than we will against Sheffield United, Luton and Bournemouth all season, home or away.
I think the concern as well going into this game, it was like, you knew it was almost a bit of a banana skin, because like I said, said it on the preview, probably said it on the reaction. Like, you look at this team, Sheffield United, without a win, struggling. I think they got smashed against Arsenal 5-0 the week before. They're especially in front of the home crowd. And I think Hickenbottom, that was probably his last chance. He had to get something out of that game. Otherwise, he was going to lose his job. And I spoke to a Sheffield United fan on the preview. That's what he said. So they were desperate to get some sort of points. I think he changed his system as well. You know, I think McBurney was injured, which allowed Cameron Archer, whose family are, you know, part of his family are Wolves fans as well, to play. And obviously, he scored the opening goal. But you knew going into a half-time 0-0, George, Wolves, it was going to go one of two ways. Gary O'Neill was going to get a reaction and we were going to press even more for the winner or, you know, for a goal. And I felt that's what we tried to do at stages. But Sheffield United had all the momentum the early part of the second half. Like, something had switched and Wolves really struggled to get out of their own area. And I think that's what I'm seeing a lot of on social media from Wolves fans as well, but Sheffield United fans, is that they felt they probably edged it and deserved the 3 points over Wolves, because we just didn't create a hell of a lot, did we? I mean, other than the Bellegarde chance, which obviously was the goal as well, we just didn't threaten enough. And that was my concern with Sasha. I think, like you said earlier, I think he does deserve a start. You know, when you score two winning goals and you've had such limited minutes, great. But he's such a... He's not just a target man. He's not just a big lump at the top of the pitch. He's got a lot more to his game than that. But he isn't someone that's going to go from 0 to 30 in a couple of seconds. You know, I think you need a certain play style around him. And I think with us playing five at the back, you haven't really got like a number 10 behind him. I think I'd be surprised to see him start again on Saturday, George. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I'm the same as you. I think the way we play and how we want to play, I think it sort of stunts us a little bit. He's just not mobile enough in, you know, and that's no discredit. You know, he's not as mobile as Neto. I mean, not many people are. Let's be honest with you. But like, yeah, that sort of dimension sort of takes it out of us a little bit. I'd be really surprised if it wasn't Juan Cunha in Belgrade from the start on a Saturday.
I agree.
I really think that'll be the front three. And yeah, like, I sort of understand what Sheffield United fans are saying. But they didn't do a lot of either, let's be honest with you. Like, I mean, Cameron Archer's goal is a wonder goal. I don't even know if it's a bad mistake. It's just real sloppy by Totti. But the one thing that I thought, and one thing I've seen creeping, and I saw again on social media, which I think's fair, is almost like there's almost feels like a bit of complacency. It felt a bit complacent that second half as well, because even the first half I thought was relatively easy for us. I know it was 0-0, and we hadn't really threatened too much, but we were the only, you know, I reckon the possession stats at half time would have been at least over 65% in Wolves' favour. Mm-hmm. We didn't really have to do anything defensively. It was quite an easy game, and I just feel like we got really complacent, and we've only got ourselves to blame, really. I mean, the Cameron Archer goals, he took it extremely well, in my opinion. It's a great goal, but he shouldn't be getting that chance. And again, that's just because it's so lapsidaisical on the halfway line, and we give him a chance out of something stupid.
The shape just seemed to be all over the place at that point. Yeah, obviously, it was Totti. And I think for Sheffield United, you know, they've not had a lot of luck in go their way. I think they've had a hell of a lot of luck after Saturday. But before that, you know, they had played some big teams at Bramall Lane and given them good games and sort of come away with nothing. But I think, you know, they had that little bit of fortune for Archer to send him through. Still had a little bit to do, but like you say, it's a great finish. But I think it's a mistake by Wolves. If you're being really petty, I think you could talk about Saar's sort of backpedaling positioning, but I don't think you can take much away from the finish. And like I said on the reaction, trust it to be an ex-Villa player who I'm sure his brother is a big Wolves fan as well. You know, for him to score the opening goal. But again, I think that's when the momentum swung a little bit, Joel, because we started to see a little bit more of the ball. We saw Bellegarde come on for Sasha in the end. In the end, we did get that goal. A really nice finish from Bellegarde. I think it's obviously his first Wolves goal. Took a little bit of a deflection, I think. But would you have taken, I think at that point, I think it was 88th minute. I didn't realise it was so late until I looked at the times. 88th minute. Would you have taken a point of that? Because we hadn't, you know, after that goal, we hadn't actually created a huge amount. Being 1-0 down so late away from home. I know fans would have been frustrated, but I think I'd have taken a point after that goal. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I would have done the same as well. I feel like we weren't good enough to win the game. I still don't necessarily think we deserve to lose it either. But you know, by the by, I would have took the point. We didn't play very well. We didn't deserve to win the game, like you say. We sort of got out of jail a little bit with the goal going in so late, and yeah, it'd have been a point again. Like, it'd have been a point on the road. It kept the unbeaten run going. And it'd have been okay. Like, I still don't. I know there's a lot of clamour online, and it's like people are like basically making more of the defeat than it is. Look, it was a poor performance. We had a shocking decision go against us again, which we're going to get onto. But losing Sheffield United away with the 10th game of the season is not going to define our season one bit. And look, I think we've got a cushion of like 7-8 points from the relegation zone.
Yeah,
you know, we're still
that was the aim of the season, wasn't it? Really,
absolutely.
How disjointed the summer was. I think 90% of Twitter and social media were saying, "Flipping heck, I hope we stay up this season." You know, that was the aim. So I think, you know, in football we do get overexcited, and you know, on this podcast we probably have said things, you know, so we have to. There are going to be results like this, you know. Lopetegui lost to Bournemouth, you know, who was under Gary O'Neill last year when we were on a really nice run at home as well. So things like this are going to happen. It's just how Wolves react from this. And like you said earlier, I think the Spurs game, who are about to play Chelsea after we record this, so we're not sure on that result. I think we will give them a better game, hopefully at Molineux with an early kickoff as well. obviously, we'll talk about the big points now, George. Fabio Silva, which I'm sure will be an interesting conversation as well, comes off the bench with just under 10 minutes to go. I think his first action was to give away a free kick and pick up a booking for an elbow in the back of one of the Sheffield United players, which they weren't too happy about. And there were a few late VAR shouts. There were actually two handball shouts against Wolves. Craig Dawson with a handball, which I would have been devastated if that was given. The Lamina one as well. I think he went to slide and it hit his hand. I think I've seen those given. But the one, obviously, the big talking point is that Baldock wins a penalty through a so-called foul from Fabio Silva. George, I think it's extremely harsh. And I think the reaction from, again, Wolves fans, football fans in general, the fact that this is almost deja vu and a like-for-like incident, the same pretty much that happened to Huang last week. And it's unfortunately Fabio Silva, who probably in terms of morale and personality at the moment, which we can tell is probably one of the most fragile players in this team at the moment. It's so unlucky. And I think the fact that Baldock starts to go down before Fabio even gets close to him, gets back up straight away. Robert Jones has rushed that decision for me. And I can't believe VAR hasn't told him to go and have a look or overturn it.
Yeah, look, where do we start? I think, first of all, Fabio Silva, it's one of those things. I just don't think it's going to work out for him here. There's a lot of people that have thrown some hyperbole at him online and stuff. I just think it's completely unnecessary, out of order, and just poor, just really poor. We know the fee, but again, I always say people get lost in the fee when it comes to George Mendes and his carousel, but it's Monopoly money. It doesn't mean anything. Fabio Silva costs 35 million quid, but Giammatino costs 5. So, it's all those swings and roundabouts. You win some, you lose some, right? And I think that you come with a big reputation. And we've ruined him. We've just ruined him. Being completely honest with you, we do it a lot. It happens a lot. And we've ruined him. He's bereft of confidence. And I was gutted for him that, he sees him crying on a football pitch. He's, first of all, no one should be jumping on the back of that. It's obviously quite clear his confidence is shot, and I felt sorry to see that happen. Second of all, the penalty. I'll say it every week on here, it feels like, but I'm going to say it again. The Premier League referees are fucking awful. It happens every week. Bad decisions. Not even just with Wolves. Again, people say there's conspiracies, all this sort of stuff. Again, I just think there's unconscious bias, but you can't really call it unconscious bias when it's Wolves or Sheffield United, because quite frankly, other than hardcore Wolves or Sheffield United fans, who really gives a fuck about how many penalties are given or not, like that just gets taken out of it. It's just bad officiating. Again, a little bit of sympathy for Rob Jones, that I can understand why he gave it. That doesn't mean I necessarily agree. I think it was a penalty. George Baldock was quite clearly going down. I understand in real time why he might give it. This then comes back to VAR, Stockley Park. I don't know what they're doing in the truck. They're obviously playing fucking stick cricket or fucking Roberto Baggio magic kicks or whatever. they just don't want to make a decision. And it really pisses me off. Like rank calls, and like Gary O'Neill has had enough of it. I mean, you see Nelson Spader come out and say like it stinks. The players come out saying it stinks. Like, yes, you can say it'll even itself out by the end of the season, but we've been on the back of 4 stinkers in 10 weeks. 10 fixtures, let alone 10 weeks. 10 fixtures. We've not had one go our way yet. And it's just bollocks. Like, the officiating in the Premier League, best league in the world, awful officiating, worst officials in the world, shite. Utter garbage. And again, it comes back to, I've got no sympathy for Arsenal whatsoever. I don't really have much time for them. But then Arteta coming out and saying what he said. Again, I don't necessarily think that was I don't think it was a clangor of decision. But what he said, I agree with. He called that the officials, and he won't get fined for it. But no doubt, if that was Gary O'Neill, there'd have been a touchline suspension, 6-7, probably a 6-figure fine. And he'd have just got it. So he's just not giving him his time ref anymore. And I think until the officials accountable and culpable for their mistakes. I've got no time for it. They're all shite. They're wank awful. And I know that old goal pack were going to do a flag thing. And I agree that it shouldn't happen this weekend with it being like arms is down and all that. But
yeah,
I'm all for it. Fucking put Howard Webb's fucking on a tifo.
You know, imagine how class it would be if they got it like almost, you know, like Dortmund when they get it like the whole length of the stand. Imagine the whole of the South Bank with some anti-VAR. Or the thing is, I don't necessarily think VAR is the problem as the system itself, but it's the idiots that are running it at the moment. Like, how difficult is it for, I think it was Chris Kavanagh, the VAR on Saturday. How, you say, Rob, I think he's looking for that. I don't have enough contact. Why don't you just quickly go to the screen? Mate, that takes 30 seconds. But I think that apparently at the moment they're saying there's some sort of threshold of like what they can overturn. Well, but that's a load of bollocks, man. Is it a penalty? Is it not? And how can 99% of people and football fans say it's not a penalty? But Rob Jones, who I sort of agree with you, I think he's probably one of the biggest headed blokes on this planet. But I understand why he could have given that. The same as Anthony Taylor last week. I understand why he may have given that. But then you've got a VAR and an assistant VAR looking at that. How can two people that know the rule book can still say, yeah, I'm happy with that decision, Rob? In what, the 99th minute of a football match?
Yeah,
load of rubbish, man. Load of rubbish. So, again, like I said, Rob Jones, dreadful. Anthony Taylor had another stinker yesterday, over the weekend.
Saw a decision. Shot.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It is really, really frustrating. But the thing is, like, they can, you know, give these decisions which cost people a lot of money and cost points. And I don't think, maybe not for us, but genuinely could be the difference between us staying in the Premier League or going down, or the difference between Sheffield United staying up or not staying up, which is mad, really. And yeah, it happens for all teams, but for Wolves at the moment, it seems to be happening more often than not, especially when the exact same incident pretty much happened last week as well. And it says something with Dermot Gallagher's, you know, backed us up 2 weeks running, I think. I've not actually watched the Sky clip, but I saw a headline. I'm sure he backed us up as well.
Yeah, backed us up again, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting ridiculous at the moment. But when the thing is, I don't think the FA have handed out fines yet. I think Matt Hobbs had one for something he said to Anthony Taylor last week. But it'd be interesting if Gary O'Neill or Arteta, Arteta especially, if he gets a fine. But then what I would say, George, is, well, I'm sorry. And they'll be like, what are you on about? I was like, well, you can apologise for keep fucking up and nothing happens. But if I say something that I don't, but I get a 20 grand fine, what's that about? So, I don't know, mate. They need to sort it out. Like I said, I don't think VAR is the issue, but it is definitely those idiots running it. And I think our referees for this weekend will get announced in the next 24 hours or so. So, be very interesting to see who they put on that one. I mean, that's sort of, I mean, we'll talk about Fabio and stuff a little bit, but Matt always likes to give a referee's rating. What's your rating for Rob Jones on Saturday, Jude?
I'll go with 3 again.
A 3.
I seem to give threes. Like, yeah. I don't necessarily think he had a bad game, but I think he definitely bottled. Bulldog could have gone, not couldn't he? A couple of times. Yeah. Could have got a second yellow for a couple. He just bottled it. And then naturally, George Bulldog goes and wins the penalty. It's just sod's law. But yeah, I'll give him a 3. He's a cock. He's one of the biggest cocks going. So he can.
Yeah. I saw there's a few Sheffield United fans trying to justify the decision with some of the soft free kicks he gave throughout the game. I think Bulldog may have got a booking for. No, it was Gustavo Hamo who got a booking for pulling back Quang. And I think Quang went down fairly theatrically, but his arm was pulled back and Hamo's arm was around him. And they were moaning about that. And Cunha as well, no doubt about it, got kicked out. Probably not enough impact for a red card. Yeah. But VAR looked at it. The day Jack Robinson kicked out. So I don't know. It was another stinker of a referee's performance. But very quickly going back to Fabio George to finish us off in this game. A young lad who, like you said, he's not picked that value, but you know, he's desperate to put that Wolves shirt on and play for this football club. Whether you think he's good enough or not, he wants to play football, he enjoys his football. But it's obviously, I don't know. I mean, I'm speculating here, but you could assume that, you know, for someone to get out distraught and upset mentally, he's obviously not 100%, and, you know, he's obviously in a fragile position at the moment. So what do you think? I mean, some of the questions will be about his future as well, but what do you think about this whole situation and Fabio Silva's future at Wolverhampton Wanderers?
I don't think it's going to work for him here. Like I said earlier, I just think sometimes it just doesn't work, and I just don't think it's going to work. I think I've always been pretty much on the fence when it comes to Fabio Silva, in the way of there's a lot of people that will have been so pro Fabio, like play him, do this, do that, who just love him to one extent, and then there's other people that just think he's fucking crap, the worst thing since Rob Taylor, all this sort of stuff. And again, I don't necessarily agree with that.
Well, people have got that stance. I've had that stance before he's even put the Wolves shirt on, and they've had to stick with it, I think.
But that's the thing again, like people, sometimes when it comes to football, people are so diehard in their sort of opinion and view just because they want to get called out on it with the mates at the pub or whatever, or online because they've put something on Twitter a year ago. To change it, like, football's fluid, like, well, opinions can change, and
like we've seen on this,
people are so staunch both sides, people are staunch both sides, so pro him or anti him, and I think it's probably somewhere in the middle. Like, for me, I think he would have been probably a better fit than Sasa on the weekend just gone. Mm-hmm. He might even be a better fit from the start this weekend, and I'm not advocating he should start, I'm saying he could be a better fit because he's more mobile. In that sort of sense, but I don't think he's done enough to warrant a start, or even when he's caught on the bench, off the bench, done enough to sort of cement anything. But look, it's a shame. I don't think we'll be getting anywhere near the fee we paid for him back anyway. If we were going to sell him, we could have sold him in the summer, like we were told at the end of the season. Pardon speaking with Liam Keane, you know, you had some big names after him in the summer, like I think Borussia Dortmund, PSV were after him again. Spanish clubs, Portuguese clubs, Italian clubs. He had so many clubs after him, and that list will just keep shrinking come January for any takers. But I think he'll be out the door in January, personally, the way it's going.
I do as well. And I think going back to sort of that opinions thing, obviously, a lot of people know from day one, I sort of wanted it to work for Fabio. But I genuinely think there's a football player there, a good player there. I don't think he's slow like people make out. I think he has got a little bit about him. He works hard. He gets his head down, but for whatever reason, sometimes you go to football clubs and it doesn't work. You know, it's not just at Wolverhampton Wanderers. This happens at Manchester United, Manchester City, whatever, Arsenal. You know, this happens to players sometimes. As we've seen with Cutrone, as we've seen with Guedes. Guedes is not a bad football player either. It just, for whatever reason, homesickness with him possibly, and it hasn't worked. So I think you're right. I think come January, a loan move out for Fabio, possibly even a permanent deal. But I genuinely think he'll be a very valuable player for a squad and still have a decent football career. But I just don't think, unfortunately, it'll be at Wolverhampton Wanderers. And who knows, could that be the last time we see Fabio Silva in a Wolves shirt? I think obviously we've got enough fixtures between now and Christmas that he may still get some minutes, but let's wait and see. But Wolves do have a tricky game up this weekend against current Premier League. I believe they're the Premier League leaders, Tottenham Hotspur. Like I said earlier, they haven't yet played their game against Chelsea. We're recording this podcast before they kick off that game, so we can't comment on that one too much. But Jord, like we spoke about earlier, Tommy Doyle, and Sasha, the two changes, I think in hindsight for Gary O'Neill, they probably didn't work. I think Tommy Doyle's a fantastic player to bring off the bench, but probably still needs that little bit of steel, whether that's through Boubacar or João Gomes. And obviously Sasha, that experiment didn't really work either. So in terms of lineup, are those the two changes you'd make? Or two players you take out?
I think definitely Bellegarde comes in for Sasha for me. Anyway, mm-hmm. I think we need that pace on the counter attack because they're a good side, as we know, and they play with inverted fullbacks, so there's going to be a lot of space as well, like wide sort of counter. I think they're beatable. I think you can get at them for sure. So I think we need to play it right. I'd quite like to see Tommy Doyle in the middle again. To be honest with you, I mean, for me, like this is probably a bit controversial, but for me, I've been thinking about this even from the weekend and stuff. Like, for me, I think our best two centre midfielders, or how I see it right now, would be, and again, it's controversial, I think João Gomes has to play for me, and I would stick with Doyle. And I know that means dropping Lamina, which sounds a bit controversial, but I feel like Doyle and João Gomes give us a little bit more. It might be a little bit light in the midfield.
Yeah.
But I think that I like what Doyle brings. I haven't got a problem with Lamine. I think Lamine is a good player, but I would quite like to see João Gomes have a start with Doyle. Again, controversial, I get that, but football's all about opinion.
I think we could see that down the line. I think against Tottenham, it's probably a little bit too soon to completely change that. I think Gary O'Neill will stick with Lamina because that a bit more of a controller, well, a bit more leader. Right. Yeah. Sure. But yeah, João Gomes, I think he had what game was it? It was a little bit frustrating. Was it the Bournemouth game? He struggled alongside Boubacar, and for whatever reason, obviously Boubacar's kept his place. So I think, you know, I wouldn't be against keeping João in, you know, bringing João back into the frame as well. But I do agree with you. I think you slot Cunha back into the centre and bring Bellegarde in to play as like a winger. You know, assuming we stick with the back five. But Spurs are going to be an interesting one, George, because they've been, you know, fantastic so far under Ange Postecoglou, winning a lot of games. Son through the middle seems to be, you know, a tricky customer. And Maddison, obviously, still at his creative best as well. But, you know, we have seen Wolves pick up points against teams that are in European competition. Beat Manchester City, got points against Villa and Newcastle as well. Well, how do you see this game going? Can Wolves get something out of this game, do you reckon?
We for sure can get something out of the game. Like I said, I think Tottenham are beatable in the way of, I think you can get at them. And again, we're saying this before the game tonight, so me saying this, are probably going to put five past Chelsea and make it stupid. But no, I do think they're beatable. I think they're quite, I don't know, like they're a very good side. Ange Postecoglou is a fantastic coach. Someone that I know we mentioned on this podcast as a potential manager when Bruno Lage left, and even when Lopetegui left, when the rumours of Lopetegui before he got took the Tottenham job was another one that we spoke about. I like how he plays, I like how he sets up. I think he's revolutionised Bissouma. Thought his Bissouma looked a bit lost from leaving Brighton to go to Spurs under Conte. He looked a shell of a player. He looks unbelievable. I think one of the most underrated players or underrated signings of the season. In the summer was Van de Ven as well. I think he's an unbelievable defender. He's quick, powerful, goes under the radar because of how well they're doing. But I think we can get at them. I think we can hurt them. I'm still not convinced on Vicario either in goal. But I think he looks all right. But I don't think I've seen a team yet really
test him. Yeah.
But again, that just shows how probably good Spurs are playing, right? But still question mark over the keeper. But yeah, look, they're a fantastic team in fantastic form at the moment. And Maddison, someone we should have got when we could have had the chance when he was still at Norwich. I thought he was the best player in the Championship, but playing at Molineux when the season we went up, when they drew 2-2 of us. And yeah, Son's a stalwart and been a very, very good player. All I know is there's going to be a lot of Asian eyes and on the TV on the weekend because of Hwang versus Son for those guys.
I think that's why they've done it as an early kickoff, isn't it? That's why they've done it as an early kickoff as well, yeah. So, I mean, both players on fire at the moment, really. Hwang with another, on paper, another assist last weekend as well. Yeah, it's going to be a really tough game for Wolves, but, I mean, at Molineux, you never know, do you? We've had some great games already so far this season, so fingers crossed. We can get some more points on the board and it'd be nice. I think it'd be a good sellout crowd, hopefully good atmosphere as well. Obviously, remembrance match on Saturday at Molineux, so fingers crossed. But George, before we move on to the questions, I spoke earlier on to Kieran from the Wolves Foundation. Is the Molineux sleep out a week on Friday? So I quickly spoke to him to get some more info on the upcoming event. So then, guys, delighted to be alongside Kieran from the Wolves Foundation. We're looking ahead to next week's Molineux Sleepout. Kieran, thank you very much for jumping on the Talking Wolves podcast. Obviously, this has been an event now for the last few years or so. We've been involved in it a few times. But for those people that aren't aware, what exactly is the Molineux Sleepout?
First of all, thanks, Dave, for having us on. Really appreciate the opportunity to talk about Wolves Foundation and Molineux Sleepout. So Molineux Sleepout really is kind of exactly what it says on the tin. So we offer supporters the opportunity to come and sleep in the Stadium Bowl. So in the North Bank Stankulis stand, and we sleep in the concourse, bed down for the evening. And really, so this is the fifth year that we've run the Sleepout. And the ambition is to raise awareness and funds for those that are dealing with scenarios like homelessness within Wolverhampton. But also in recent years, the cost of living crisis is also something that's become more and more of a focus for us. But also we work alongside our partners, the Good Shepherd, understanding that, you know, they're probably a little bit closer to, you know, the groups of people within the city that deal with these problems. So it's a joint project. It's a joint event between Wolves Foundation and the Good Shepherd, and really to raise awareness, but also really important funds to help combat things like homelessness and cost of living crisis within the city.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, we've done it a few times, and it's always, you know, a great evening to speak to other fans. Obviously, the Good Shepherd get people involved that have sort of experienced, you know, homelessness for real. You know, it's a massive thing and a huge part. What will the evening entail, Kieran? You know, if people are getting involved or the people that have already sort of signed up, what's sort of the plan for the evening?
Yeah, so we welcome people into the stadium from 6 o'clock. And then a lot of it is educational, right? So we have speakers from the Good Shepherd that come and share their stories of their journeys through homelessness at times, or the cost of living crisis. So people that have really been on the sharp end of these problems will share a bit of their journey, share a bit of their story. But also we invite down, you know, our ambassadors. So the likes of Johnny Phillips have been there before. Carl Akimi's been there to speak prior, Cole Henry, and then, you know, other significant fundraisers around the city. So I know Manny has been there before and spoken, and also he's going to be there this year. So a lot of it is educational, so giving participants the opportunity to understand exactly what they're fundraising for and just how difficult these scenarios can be for some of the people of Wolverhampton. Once we've gone through this, you know, we'll have a bit of a Q&A with some of the guests there, and then we'll do, you know, hot drinks are available, and then people will bed down for the evening and in some respects, I suppose, experience what it may be like to be sleeping rough or sleeping outdoors for the evening. And you know the funds are really important. We need these funds to be able to offer support in the hardest hit sort of areas and to the people that need it most, but also spreading that awareness and the education of this exists within our city and this is what it's like for some people is a really important part of the evening. There'll also be dignitaries from across the city there also, so I know the mayoress has been in the past, so it's a really, I mean, it's a unique opportunity to sleep within the Stadium Bowl, but also, you know, we hope inspires people to want to do more and help more where they can.
For sure. And it's, like I said, Kieran, sort of, well, under 2 weeks away now. It's next Friday, a week on Friday, I should say. Can people still get involved? If they're listening to the podcast and they think, you know what, I want to get involved. Is it too late, or can people still sign up?
No, definitely still available. So just to give you a bit of an insight, over the last 4 years, the Sleepout's managed to raise in the region of £170,000, which is a fantastic amount. The ambition for this year is to surpass £50,000. We want to make this the biggest Sleepout that we've ever done. I think the biggest number we've achieved in the past in terms of tickets sold or participants was 130 last year. We're aiming to get to 200 for this year. So tickets are definitely still available. You can do it via the Wolves website, wolves.co.uk, or Foundation website. And I can send across the links for you, Dave, as well, for you to post up on socials. But 100%, we're still encouraging people to sign up, get involved, come down and take part in the Sleepout and help us raise those vital funds so that we can help the Good Shepherd in the areas that need it most across the city.
And Kieran, if people, for whatever reason, can't make it next Friday, are there other ways that they can get involved and help the Wolves Foundation?
Of course, yeah. I mean, if you can't make it yourself, you may know somebody else that's taking part. So donating to the Just Giving page, even just one-off donations to Wolves Foundation, you know, we're always welcome to receiving donations. And it's a very simple process via our own website that you can click the donate button and give what you can whenever you can. But certainly there's an option on the Sleep Aid to support any of the attendees via their own Just Giving pages. So look, if you can't attend, absolutely no problem. If you want to give a little bit in terms of funding or donating, there's many ways to do that. And if anybody ever wants to have a chat with anybody at the foundation, you know, all of our contact details or my contact details are on the foundation website. Drop us a line. More than happy to have a chat and explore ideas that other people have around fundraising and wanting to do something for Wolves Foundation. Yeah, we're always open for a chat and always wanting to speak to new people about raising awareness, raising funding for a number of projects across the city.
No, that's brilliant. Yeah, I mean, the Talking Wolves fundraising link will be in the top of the description. And Kieran, yeah, I'll make sure I put the links for people if you want to get involved in the Sleep Out or just check out the Wolves Foundation. I'll make sure I leave the links for those. But Kieran, thank you very much for jumping on the podcast. And yeah, hopefully I'll catch you next week.
Thanks, Dave. See you soon, mate.
Cheers, mate. So then, guys, yes, I'll make sure I leave a link at the top of the description for you guys to, if you want to donate towards our fundraising page for the Molyneux Sleep Out, whether it's a quid, a couple of quid, five or a tenner, obviously it all does mean a lot. Me and Finn will be there a week on Friday. And if you are there, please do come and say hello. No quiz this week. Unfortunately, Matt is still recovering. I think he's had, is it ACL surgery, George? I knew it was some sort of surgery on his leg.
Cock extension, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably. Preston increaser. So, yeah, he's not here. And Finn, unfortunately, isn't here as well. So we'll just jump straight into the questions. We've got one from a friend of the show, Jonah. He said, do you think the international break will come at a good time? Obviously, with the morale potentially down after the Sheffield United loss and Neto out for a few weeks, this, I suppose, could be a good time to regroup, George.
Yeah, possibly. I still think, again, it's one defeat in six, if you paint it that way as well, you know. We still, you know, you can look at it in a load of different ways. I think it depends how the Spurs game goes, of course. I think a big thing, the Brazil squad has just been released and Matheus Cunha is not in that squad. So that's at least less travel for him. No João Gomes in the squad either, so that's at least two people that we know are going to be sticking around Compton and the surrounding areas. Yeah, potentially. I think we can't get too up or down about that Sheffield United game. You know, it is what it is. We move on. And like I say, I don't think it's necessarily going to define our season yet. If we'd have lost to them in match week 32, 33, absolutely. But match week 10, after, you know, with what we've done recently, yeah, it is what it is. Just move on and focus on Tottenham.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, the main advantage of the international break is that obviously we hope that Neto, I mean, it's still pretty grey area at the moment. We hope that Neto is going to be back sooner rather than later, because I think it's pretty obvious that he's quite crucial to the way that we've been playing and how good our form has been. And I think that's definitely the type of player that Wolves will probably look to bring in January as well. Talking of January, Amar's Music Show has said, if a club did come in to sign Fabio Silva on a permanent deal in January, what is the minimum amount you would accept, Jord?
15 million.
Yeah, I was going to say about 10 to 15, I think.
Minimum. I don't think we sell him in January. I think at best, we get a loan with an obligation. I think he'll get loaned out with an option.
I think a loan as well. January windows are always very, there's not the bulk of the money you spend, obviously, in the summer. So I think it'll be a loan with a try and increase his value a little bit going into the summer and obviously sort of reevaluate the situation then. Because I think it's no secret the Wolves do want to sign another striker. And I think it's pretty obvious they need to do that as well after Saturday's game as well. Another January one, someone Jacked Jipper on Twitter. Calvin Phillips looks to be on the move in January. I think you've said before, George, you would take him, but that is the question. Would you take him at Wolves?
I would take him. I don't think we're getting him. I would take him for sure. I think he's a very underrated footballer. purely for the fact of he's gone to Man City and not been able to play over Rodri. And I think that a lot of people have sort of forgotten about what he did at Leeds. Euro 2020, he was, I think he was in team of the tournament, if I'm not mistaken,
yeah.
Calvin Phillips, and definitely won England Player of the Year for the national squad as well. I think he's a very good footballer, very neat footballer. I've seen today that Liverpool, Tottenham are in the hunt for him. I wouldn't be surprised if Newcastle aren't in the hunt for him as well, with Tonali being out. So, yeah, absolutely. I think he would improve us. I think he's stupid or naive to say he wouldn't improve Wolves. But I don't think we're going to get him either at the same time.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions about VAR, obviously, which I think me and Jordan sort of spoke about throughout the podcast as well. VDS on Twitter, he thinks, I mean, I don't know what to expect, but do you think Fabio Silva will get any more game time in the coming weeks?
Yeah, he will.
I suppose it depends on Gary O'Neill's stance on it, because he could say, you know what, I'm going to back this kid and start him on Saturday. Or that's a huge risk, because if Fabio does start Saturday and he's crap, that's an even bigger kick in between the legs for him, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think you shouldn't start people out of pity, for one. But
oh, of course,
thinking about it myself, in terms of if he's not going to start Bellegarde because he's coming back from his hamstring problems, I would start Fabio, because I feel like that's a good management thing to do. I think it's very strong, it's bold. If he wants Fabio in and around the squad, I think it's, you know, and look, everyone on Twitter, or 99% of Twitter, is saying it's not a penalty. So you can't blame Fabio for giving away a penalty that we were all saying wasn't a penalty.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it'd be strong management, bold management, but I think Gary O'Neill has got the minerals to do that if he wants to. Again, I don't think he will. I think he will stop Bellegarde, but I won't be against starting Fabio.
Well, I think you're right, though. I think that's what it is. I think there was a lot of anger at the end of the game. It's like, oh, Fabio's the one that's giving away the penalties. Come on, got the book straight away. He's done fuck all again. And I think that's what a lot of the people anger. I think when it calmed down a little bit, I think people sort of appreciate the doubt a little bit more. But obviously, with him getting upset at the end, to be fair, I thought there'd be a much bigger reaction to that, like a negative reaction from the wider football world on that. But I don't think there has been, which is good, I suppose, in a way for us. But I really do feel for him. I really hope it does work. But I don't know. Obviously, like we said, he's sort of running out of time. Final question, FCT Louis. Do you think these decisions are going against us because we're not considered a Big Six team? Or is it just down to bad luck? Bit of both, maybe?
Again, it comes back to what I've said about, I don't think it's corruption. I think there's unconscious bias. I think that possibly is the answer. I don't want to say it is or it isn't. Possibly, yeah. The only people that can answer that question with any sort of clarity for you are PGMOL, Howard Webb. Yeah. And they're going to deny it till the Hills come home. But they've been proved that they got the decision wrong against last week. Proved they were wrong with the Onana one. Prove they're wrong with the Luton one. And we're still yet to hear yet whether it was the right or wrong decision. I think it's Dale Johnson, isn't it, who does it. Nice. I haven't listened or heard it. I mean, he's a busy... I was going to say something.
Mate, he was quoting me the other day. Did you see it?
He's just a busy knobhead. But still, know. he gets access and he does stuff. So, yeah, I mean, we're waiting to hear what they're saying about it being a right or wrong decision. Because do a vote.
Dale Johnson's done an article about it, and he says that it shouldn't have been given. But I think that he was one where I went back to, what did I say earlier about the margin sort of, I can't remember the word I used, but basically that's why the VAR didn't tell him to go back. But it's a load of rubbish, really. Well, there we go. It's another weekend, another frustrating one for Wolves in terms of the officiating. Hopefully, it's a much more straightforward and hopefully enjoyable game on Saturday against Spurs. Obviously, we'll be back before then on the channel, on the YouTube channel, with our match preview and thoughts ahead of that game. George, if people wish to find you on the socials, where can they do so?
Yeah, so it's at GeorgeWas7 on Twitter and Instagram.
Thank you. And I'm at Dave as a party on Twitter and Instagram. Obviously, we are Talking Wolves on all the socials as well. If you've listened on iTunes or Spotify, please do leave us a 5-star review. If you've watched on YouTube, please hit that like button and subscribe to the channel. If you haven't already, be sure to go and check out our Molyneux Sleep Out fundraising page. It'll be at the top of the description wherever you're listening to this. Like I said earlier, if you could spare a couple of quid, a fiver, honestly, it would be absolutely amazing. But we will be back next week to react to that Spurs game. Fingers crossed it's 3 points for Wolves. Until then, though, enjoy your week, guys, and we'll catch you all very, very soon.